It's just, you know, really unfortunate that art's not like baking a cake and you can just stick a toothpick in the middle and see if it comes out dry. There's just a lot to consider when it comes to whether a piece of art you're working on is as done as it needs to be. Hello, all my dedicated and questioning creatives out there. Thank you for joining me on the Sage Arts Podcast. This is Sage, and yeah, it's just me again. And I'm going to explain a little bit about why that's been just me for the last, two, maybe almost 3 months. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about today. And I have some news that I'm mostly going to save to the end. I don't know, maybe I'll jump the gun a little bit here, but you might be able to guess a little bit about what I'm going to say about this podcast just by the theme of this particular episode, which is knowing when it's finished. And although I'm going to talk primarily about finishing creative work, there's also things in our lives, things about our creative career, things about our personal lives that we also can apply this to, because there are aspects of our creative career, aspects of our lives, chapters in our lives, and you have to know when those are finished as well to make a decision about stopping it or starting something new. But let's start with talking about our artwork. And maybe this is something that you haven't really spent much time on, because we think, oh, creative work, it has a natural finished position. We get to it and it's finished. We just know it's finished, right? But the truth is, artwork is something that always kind of remains incomplete. And I mean that in the sense that there's almost always more that could be done. But the question is, when do you decide that it's done enough or done as far as you want to take it? Today, we're going to start with kind of the why issue of this particular topic. Why do you even need to question when your work is done? I mean, don't you just know? Sometimes, yeah, we do just know. But like most things, a little thought and a question or two can be the difference between something being good or good enough and being great. So starting with the importance of finishing at the right place and the right time, it comes down to avoiding basically two things: the overworking of your work or the underworking of your artwork. So when you overwork your art, this is usually out of perfectionism or it not feeling quite right or it's not as good as you hoped, but it could make it busier when you do too much or make it muddier or less focused. And that can be problematic. You can destroy the work by continuously trying to make it perfect or trying to find that elusive magic that you in your head thought it was going to have. So that's one thing that is necessary to know when it's done, so you don't do too much and ruin the work. Because oftentimes with many materials, if you overwork it, you don't get to go back and start all over. You know, in digital work, you have a lot of ways to ensure that you can go back. But in many other tangible materials, paints and whatnot, you don't have those choices. You go in there and you work it too much and it can't be undone. So it's important to know when you're finished and when you should stop, right? So I think we've all had that kind of experience where we've done something a little too much, we've gone a little too far, and we just wrecked it, right? So that's fairly common. But the other thing that people do also is they stop too soon. And this often comes out of fear, one, of it being ruined, which is a legitimate concern because overworking is a real thing, or because we've lost direction or focus, or we aren't sure what we're doing anymore, why we're doing it, what our theme is, or we've lost touch with our intention. We could leave it wanting also out of frustration or finding it was increasingly difficult and it's more than we want to take on. Maybe we took on something a bit beyond our present skill set or even our patience level to get it done, right? But this means the work isn't probably reaching its potential, or the things you want it to convey may not be strong enough to be communicated, or it just comes across kind of like watered down, like, you know, weak coffee. When work isn't pushed to its potential, it might have, I think most commonly, less contrast, either visually or even thematically. But it could also suffer from a lack of movement and energy or balance, even unity, if we just stop when all the basics are done and don't push it further. So it's definitely worth asking if the work is actually done when you initially think it's done. Of course, like I said, it's better to err on the side of caution and not do more to it if you're not sure exactly what else might need to be done. It's better to be underworked than overworked. But how exactly do you know when it's finished? How do you make these judgment calls, right? Most people will say that it's gut instinct. We sense that it's done, but we don't always know why, right? The problem with instinct alone, unless you're very experienced, is that what you may perceive as an instinct about its being complete may also be a subconscious or even conscious desire to just find an excuse to stop. The thing about getting frustrated or being a little over your head in the project could get you to, fool yourself, so to speak, into thinking that you are done, or maybe you're anxious to get something online to share, or maybe you even have a deadline and you don't have much of a choice because there's a show coming up or whatnot. We won't always be able to finish things into that kind of sweet spot of not being overworked but still reaching its potential. But if you're not even asking the question of whether it's done, there's a good chance you're missing out on that sweet spot more often than really necessary. If you're able to dig around and ensure you're not feeling frustrated or aimless or fearful or ruining the work, then you're probably fine. I do think instinct is the primary way that most experienced artists determine that the work is done. But like any other skill, that instinct needs to be honed. There's also sometimes some kind of natural conclusion dictated by the material or the technique or the initial design. But just because you come to a natural conclusion, as in you've created all the beads and strung the necklace together, or you've drawn all the mountains and the trees in a landscape, just because you've done that, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily done. As I said, there's always more to do in our work, but you have to ask yourself and carefully, would this benefit from additional elements, some more tweaking, some polishing, some cropping, maybe even removal of elements? Just is there any further changes that the work might benefit from? Now, although I think that's an important question to ask, I would caution that you do not ask that question like right away when you get to some instinctual or natural stopping point. I would say when you get to that point where you feel like it might be done, probably the best thing that you can do, if it's possible, is to put it away for a while. Working on a piece for any length of time has us up close, looking at detail, pushing and prodding and adding and tweaking and all these little bits and pieces that we work with that make up the work. It's very hard to distance yourself from that level of examination in order to step back, look at the piece as a whole, and analyze what possible changes it might benefit from at that point. Time away from looking and examining a piece, kind of forgetting what you've been doing, will allow you to see the work as a whole and look at potential changes in regards to the entire composition and the support of the theme and intention and all of those things, with a judgment that isn't still focused on all the little bits that you've previously been very close to, right? One of the other things I try to do with my work when I'm not sure if I'm finished yet is to review or to try to determine what my theme is and look back at my original intention. And I'll tell you, I am not one to say that once you've determined your intention in a piece, you have to stick to it. It's beneficial in many ways to just have that intention and every decision is based on that particular intention. But as many of you probably know, as you work on things, they change. As we work, we learn things about our viewpoint, about ourselves, about what we really want to say, or the work itself may seem to take on a life of its own and may seem to be saying something quite different than what our original intention was set out for. And if that's the case, I would say just lean into it. If you find your intention changing, if you find your ideas metamorphizing, if the imagery you have produced is saying something different than you originally intended, take a beat and examine why you're seeing what you're seeing in your work. You may find out some surprising things about yourself, like the subject matter of a particular landscape, for instance, you're working on, you thought it was going to be this idyllic, calm, and peaceful rural plains in the Midwest, but rather you're seeing like disturbingly dark shadows and storm clouds, and maybe you realize you're worried about the development in that area and the potential for this type of landscape to be overrun by, commercial development or drilling or suburban expansion or even climate change. And that's what you want to focus on. Not just showing how beautiful the landscape is, but the potential for it to be ruined or disappear. And sometimes you don't understand that that's what you're that's what you're drawn to the imagery for in the first place until you've worked on it for a bit. And at that point, you could realize that the theme and change of intention may call for pushing some of those dark shadows and dark clouds and maybe have a hint of commercial development in the distance or any of the things that will help say what you think the work has come to really be communicating. Now, if you work in more abstract work or even functional art, maybe the themes and stuff seem pretty standard, or you haven't really thought it through and you're just doing something that's pretty, which is totally fine. You want something that's beautiful, but there's certain feelings, emotions, atmosphere, a sense of fun or a sense of seriousness or sophistication or whatever that you are trying to impart in your work. Okay. So let's say you are making a pair of earrings. You may not feel there's any real deep theme or particularly strong intention. You just want them to be simple and fun, something of that sort, right? And so the idea that you need to know when it's finished may not seem like a relevant question for you because you just do the simple thing and then it's done, right? But let's look at it at a specific example. Let's say you've designed the general idea of earrings in polymer clay. I'll use that because I know a lot of you are polymer clay people. And in your mind, you know you want them to be like leaf-shaped with maybe a gradation of color from one end to the other. And you're going to put a little bead at the top and center in there to add focus and interest, okay? That's simple enough, and it's a perfectly legitimate composition and design for a set of earrings. But I think it's a missed opportunity to say, oh, this is just a simple earring and I don't need to go deeper. But how do you know that if you're not asking the questions, right? How do you know if you haven't had a conversation with yourself where the idea that it needs to just be simple even came from? I mean, why do you find that important? You know, is it just based on the fact that you want to be able to make them quickly? Or can you take it just a step further to make them more impactful, which means you could be asking for more money for them. You could be selling them better if they just have a little bit more oomph, right? I'm not saying you need to be making social or global or whatever commentary with your earrings, but even if you just want something simple, you're still making choices that should all come together under a cohesive intention. So is that leaf a leaf of spring or summer or fall? Is it tropical or is it from a mountain forest? Do you want it to be graphical or more realistic? And if so, why? Why is a great question to ask while you're designing. Why do I want this? Why am I leaning into this? Is it because these are the colors of the season and they're trending and I want to do the trending colors because I think I'll sell them? Or is it because I'm really drawn to these particular type of plants or leaves or graphical or realistic? And knowing why can really help you in making decisions. Like you might like fall colors and fall, you know, forest leaves, maple leaves, these kinds of things more so than tropical leaves. And knowing that, you can start asking yourself, why am I drawn to those kinds of things? I'm drawn to the serenity of a fall, you know, a hike in a fall forest or something like that. And then serenity might actually become part of the theme. And then you can make choices based on that. So let's just say if you want it to be, I don't know, a graphical, minimalistic set of earrings. So you just want it to be lighthearted and fun and you choose colors that will just shine through. So the simplicity will help it be more about the colors. Okay, that's legitimate. But you could still ask if it would help in the interest and composition to maybe just add a simple something else, like maybe a single line down the center vein of that leaf in a contrasting color. Maybe it meets the bead at the top, giving the bead a strong kind of elevated position on this line versus just kind of floating untethered on the leaf. And the line will give the earring a little vertical movement because vertical lines are very strong and they definitely add movement and energy. And so you can think on it, test it even, and see if it works and is still saying what you want it to say while making it just a touch bolder. And so the line can, you know, it'll add energy and interest and a touch of complexity that make the earrings all the more eye-catching. Now, if your intention was to be extremely simplistic, then you'd be like, no, that's not really what I want to do. It makes it more complex than I want it to be, and it wouldn't fulfill your intention. But if your intention is to make something with fun energy that can remain uncomplicated, a simple line will probably get you there. It's all a matter of really looking at your work and deciding what you want it to be and to do and to say. And once you know what you want the piece to be, you can really ask the question, is it finished, with a lot more confidence and be able to offer yourself, your design, more options, understanding what it is that you want out of it in the first place. just, again, be careful about doing too much pullback, if anything, on how much work you do on the piece. I would even say that if you're questioning whether you need to do more and you're not just sure, just don't. Just absolutely don't. As I've said, I think it's better to do less than too much because the work could end up being weaker than its potential because you do less again. But you could put it aside and come back to it later, and you can probably do more to it if you need to. But if it's overworked, it's oftentimes hard to fix those things, and especially with less forgiving materials like wood or watercolor or ceramics or whatnot. You may not be able to fix them later, right? I also think that a lot of times we feel complexity is better, and it's not always. Like if you've ever taken an art class where you work on canvas or paper or even in graphic design, they'll usually bring up the importance of white space. And I believe I have a podcast on that. I don't remember which one it is. But in any case, a lot of people, especially when they start out, they're inclined to fill all the space that they have to work on. But white space is a good thing. It gives the eye a place to rest. So visually, it's very helpful for viewers to have white space. And of course, white space doesn't mean it has to be white. It just means it has to be like open, uncomplicated, easy on the eye kind of thing. The white space or simpler, less complicated areas in the work help the viewer find the primary focus, the area where you want them to spend the most time on, because it kind of directs them away from the simple areas to the more complicated areas. And you can direct your viewer to where you want them to be looking. So you want to be careful not to overwork something where the focus will get lost because there's too much complicated stuff going on and you fill too much of the space. Some work can even benefit from being incomplete. So being finished isn't about, did I do all the things that make everything complete in the picture? Like you're doing a portrait. You don't actually have to, you know, draw out every hair or even the ear. Or I've seen paintings where they didn't actually draw both the eyes, you know? And the reason you would do that and still call it finished is because those incomplete areas may help you say something that you're trying to convey. Brett and I actually talked about that in episode 24, The Elusive Finished State, which kind of sounds like today's subject, but it's not. Brett and I chatted about the problem of starting something that you don't finish. And we talked a bit about how to know when it's done in there as well. But I'm pointing this out because mostly we talked about how to complete things that you feel like you didn't want to finish, but then also to talk about how incompleteness can say something. So if you want more information about that and you're interested in that subject matter, episode 24 is something to go back to. But yeah, the skinny is that we talked about how leaving some things undone is part of what you say. If your intention would benefit from those things being incomplete, like the theme may have to do with incompleteness or questions left unanswered or something of that sort, you know, incomplete parts would work to support that. Or it could, again, help the viewer to concentrate on the area you want them to focus on. Even in jewelry, parts that look more finished and polished while other elements are rougher can also help with developing focus and potentially developing your theme. So the completeness of your work is one thing, and the knowing it's done is another thing. You see what I'm saying? So completeness is what people might expect you to fully do, but knowing it's done because it says what you need it to say without having to be complete is a legitimate way of determining that it's finished. It's just, you know, really unfortunate that art's not like baking a cake and you can just stick a toothpick in the middle and see if it comes out dry. There's just a lot to consider when it comes to whether a piece of art you're working on is as done as it needs to be. And I like using that phrase that it is done as it needs to be, because I think that emphasizes that our work could always be worked on more and it's never going to be as perfect as you want it to be in your mind. But it gets to a point where it's saying what it needs to say, where its impact or its beauty or whatever visual experience you want people to take away from it will most likely be attained. So that's where you can put it to bed and move on to the next thing because it's achieved those things that you're after. And I think this idea that you need to examine when something is done can extend to other things in our artistic lives, actually kind of lives in general, really. Let's say you've been a show artist for the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, and you're finding yourself really exhausted with the routine, or the market is not providing you with the income that you need anymore, or you really want to do different work and your present shows will probably not be good venues for it. I think there's times in our lives where we need to examine what we're doing with our work and recognize when it's time to move on. If doing the shows aren't fulfilling all the things that you need, enough income, enough work-life balance, or appropriate clientele for the kind of work you want to create, then it's necessary to know when to move on and not just keep tweaking or pushing for that particular thing in your life to work. Like, you could do things to sell more at a show if it's an income issue, such as changing your price points, maybe making lots of smaller, cheaper things, but you may not enjoy that. And the whole thing of doing shows will become a chore instead of a joy because you're not creating and selling the kind of work your heart and soul wants to be doing. Or maybe you've developed a successful YouTube channel, but the constant production and trying to keep on top of it can be exhausting, and maybe it's just not fun anymore. So maybe it's time to move on to something else. You could teach classes or create tutorials and sell those instead of doing videos. Or maybe it's even the material you're working with. And I know a lot of artists that have struggled with that because you put a lot of time and investment into your material and it becomes kind of your identity. And then at some point you realize you either want to move on to something else because something else has gotten you curious and it's gotten you inspired and jazzed in a way that your present material isn't, or you want to say something and the materials that you're working with just don't really have the ability to say things the way you want to say them. So it can be an issue of you outgrowing your material or your life moving on in a way that doesn't allow you to work with that material the way you have been. This can be a really tough thing for a lot of people because of the identity that we tend to kind of enmesh ourselves in with our materials. You know, like I called myself a polymer artist for a long time, and other people call themselves a watercolorist or a painter or a sculptor, or, you know, by form or by material, whatever. If you decide to move on to something else, that can be hard. It can be hard because of the community that you're entrenched in, because of the knowledge that you have. And to start, you know, start new and be a novice in something after you've been a master in something can be really difficult. But there are times when that is really a necessity. I actually had a couple of artists that I interviewed, Kathleen Destin and Joe Barbaccia. They chose to work in polymer clay instead of bigger, more complex materials that required more equipment or more space because they were moving into smaller spaces or they were moving a lot. And even though they had years invested in these other materials, moving to polymer let them continue to be wildly creative, even through all these great changes in their lives. And yeah, they necessitated some logistical reorganizing, but they were able to keep doing creative work that they loved and actually found something new and inspiring for them in the process. I also have artist friends who have moved from like sculpture materials to two-dimensional materials because of arthritis or because they were doing like abstract work in their sculpture materials and they wanted to do more realistic imagery and felt that they could better express that with paint or pencil. I know all of these things, whether it's selling at shows or growing a social media channel or just working with a particular material, all of these things will have involved a lengthy time investment, usually monetary investment, and sometimes a lot of networking or building up of your name in certain circles in order to grow a career or a market. And it can just seem like such a waste to set aside that kind of investment that we made. It can be really hard to walk away from those things that took so much time and money and effort to grow and establish. They're also familiar, and they're things that you know you can do and that you can do well, even if it's not fulfilling for you anymore. Some of us will stay because of this familiarity and because of this investment, feeling like we've put so much into it that we have to stick it out. And also because doing something else involves some level of risk and there's unknown aspects and all this stuff can be scary. And not only that, starting in like, say, a new material, especially, or new markets or whatever, you can feel like a bumbling novice in these new things. And it's not the best feeling in the world. But mastering a new material and discovering new things about your skills and your talents, finding new people, finding new connections, finding new markets, they can help you develop yourself as an artist. And with new material, that childlike wonder, that curiosity, that thing that really motivates and drives us can be just notched up tremendously. And then once you've gotten it down, once you're no longer the novice, there's this huge and amazing payoff of showing yourself that, yeah, you can start over again and be successful. And it's just, it's worth it, right? But all that said, you still have to come to a point where you know it's time to be done with those things. Now, in the case of shifting the way you sell or shutting down a social media channel that you've been doing well at, or actually even moving to another material, you may feel like, you know, it's some kind of giving up, that you're failing because you're basically just switching gears or looking in a new direction. And these things aren't failing, but we may have a sense like we've given up on it, right? But you got to think of it as a type of growth. You know, it's one of the hardest things for us to be able to recognize when a certain aspect of what we do or certain parts of our lives is over or done or ready to be put on pause. It can be a hard thing to accept and step away from. But I don't think we should look at anything that we do as being the thing that we're going to do for the rest of our lives, because we're constantly changing. The world is constantly changing, and we should change as needed. So that change should be really expected, or think of it as something potential and embrace it when it does come along. Now, I know change is not the most comfortable thing for, I'd say, the majority of people. Now, I like change. I actually seek it out. I'm constantly wrecking my routines on purpose when I see them forming in my life, which isn't, you know, doesn't make things very efficient sometimes, but, you know, just that's who I am. But it doesn't mean that even if you like change, that change isn't scary or that you question walking away from things that you've done well at. I think it'd be weird if you didn't question big changes in your life. It's necessary to examine whether you are truly done with something, just as it is when you are creating work to know that you're truly done with it. And I think in the case of life changes, we're more likely to do the overworked kind of thing than the underworked kind of thing. So you will probably hang on to things longer than you should, then leave too soon. So if you've been questioning what you're doing for a while, you're probably beyond the point of when you should have stopped. That's just my theory. May not always be true, but it's something to examine in yourself. The other thing that can be a problem with making life changes in particular is that there's an expectation from other people. You know, they have expectations of us. And that may even be true of the type of material that you have. You have a certain market that you've been selling to for a long time and dedicated customers and fans and whatnot. And if you change up, they can be really disappointed in you. And that can be really hard to face. I remember when I was working on the Polymer Arts magazine, this is from the other side, not me changing, but someone else changing. So there were a couple times I wrote some well-known artists about contributing, only to find out that they had walked away from Polymer Clay. And I remember at the time thinking that was so sad, because I was still in love with the material and obsessed with it. It was hard to see that somebody else who had had some version of my experience with this amazing material would have lost that fascination with it. And yet here I am, not really working with Polymer, hardly ever anymore. It's not to say I've given it up, because I haven't, because I still have a fascination with it. I still love it and all the amazing things that it can do. It's just, I want to do different things. I want to do bigger pieces that the material isn't really suitable for, at least not as the primary material. So my time and energy has been going into other materials that I think will be able to produce what I want to produce. And then from the other side, like for me doing this podcast, it's been hard for me to grow my circle of influence beyond the Polymer community. And I have, but Polymer artists or Polymer or people who have found me through Polymer still make up the majority of listeners, as best as I can tell. And I love how many people have followed me from a very bonded community that Polymer has been. There's a serious Polymer identity, because with such a new material, we felt very different as a community than many other art forms. But yeah, a lot of Polymer people have followed me from that kind of enclosed community to something more generalized, this thing that I'm doing, which really shows some serious growth for those people, that they're looking beyond just the technique and the possibilities of Polymer into the importance of understanding art and design and living a creative life. So you know who you are out there, and kudos to you. But there is still, I think, I get from emails and conversations that I've had, an expectation that I am going to speak to or speak for at least some of the Polymer community. And Polymer, I mean, it's really spread into so many different areas now. It's not quite as concentrated a community that it once was, which is part of its growth. And it's wonderful to see that. But I feel the pressure to continue to be a source for the Polymer community. And I still regularly get people writing me with questions about the materials or where to get things, or you know, certain contacts for artists or to write articles, all these kinds of things. So I'm still entrenched to some degree. So it can be very hard to, you know, step away from that and not be focused. And every business person and marketing person will tell you to focus and to be niche. But it's not that big a community. And of that community, there's only a percentage that wants to be serious artists and want to hear the kinds of things that this podcast has to say. So I had to spread out, right? The truth is, I've actually always been doing that. Even the Polymer Arts magazine was really more about being an artist than just how to work with Polymer. But the funny thing is, the identity I have had has actually limited my own creative work. Doing the magazine was literally an every waking hour of production. And a big reason I stepped away from it after 9 years was because my work-life balance was poor. The podcast has given me a much better work-life balance than the magazines, but I'm not very good at doing things half-assed. So like last year's podcast was my priority and it got out every week and it was the quality that I wanted and I was getting the listenership that I wanted and there were enough donations to keep it afloat. This year's been another story, as many of you know if you've been following me through this chaotic year. It's been really hard for me to be able to give this the focus that I think this project deserves, the kind of focus that I had in the first year. And as of this week, I've been doing this podcast for 2 years. I have loved every minute of doing this, and I don't want to stop doing it. But for months now, I've been trying to figure out how to do this in such a way that it doesn't take up the majority of my free time, so I have more time to do my own creative work. You might have noticed that the last few months that I've done all solo episodes, with the exception of Brett joining me for some of them. And that was in large part because doing interviews or even co-hosting episodes, they almost double the amount of time that I need to do them. And people are asking when I'll get back to interviews. And the fact is, I don't know if I can do that with the present setup and process that I have while also continuing to do my own creative work and to make some progress with my art. I've been doing a lot more artwork in this year in particular, but I've not been able to give it the time and focus it needs for me to make any real progress. I'm not feeling very good about the progress that I'm making. So I've had some ideas on how this could work in the future, being able to do either the podcast or some other similar thing while being able to get some of my creative projects done. And I started seriously brainstorming what kind of changes would have to be made, just probably over the last month. But I realized that even my brainstorming needs some time to focus. And with the amount of time that I put into the production of this, it's really nothing's going to happen until I give myself space to work through it. In other words, I've been asking myself, is it time to be done with the podcast? I've actually been asking myself this, I would say, since the summer break. And I don't want to be done with it. I love teaching and sharing and connecting with you all. And I think that it's really important to me to be able to teach and share. So I do it for myself as well as being able to share and help you all out. But I do feel like I need to fill my own creative well first, maybe, at least for a little while, and maybe find some help or more efficient ways of producing this so I do have a better balance between doing this kind of work and then doing my own creative work. So here I am asking the question of, am I done? Am I done with podcasting? I don't think so. Or am I done with this podcast and the kind of subject I'm presenting or the way it's being produced? And that's possible. I may have to change what I'm doing. My greatest hope would be to make progress in my own artwork for a little while and my writing as well. And I know even that sounds like a lot. But my actual end goal with my artwork is to actually combine a lot of my various creative stuff, my photography, my painting, my pencil, and my poetry, and putting these all into these mixed media pieces that I'm envisioning. But yeah, if I can make progress in my artwork and my writing and establish a structure in my life that allows those things to get done with time enough to get back to teaching and sharing in a way that keeps my life in balance, that's what I hope to do. I'm not sure what form that will be, though. Podcasting has been so much more my thing than I ever imagined it would be, but we'll see. Sometimes you have to tear something completely down and start over to get it right. And that's actually my usual method of doing things. I don't like to patch and tweak and band-aid things to get them to work. I find it much easier to start from ground zero and build things anew. I'm having conversations with a couple of people about what my future sharing and teaching will look like. So I'm going to keep the mailing list and I'm going to keep all the websites up. Nothing of that's going to change. And when I come to the point where I've decided what my sharing is going to look like, I will be reaching out to all of you. So if you'd like to be kept updated on my projects, please do ensure that you're signed up for the News and Notices newsletter. It's on the homepage of thesagearch.com. Just go there and look for the News and Notices button. If you've been writing to me or thought about writing to me because you have questions about what you're doing, about something that I've mentioned in a podcast, or just want to say hi, I would still love to hear from you however and whenever. And the best way to reach me would be actually to respond to that newsletter. It's just really simple. You get it. You can respond and say whatever. Or to any, and it could be anything that you received in the past. It doesn't have to be a present newsletter. And you can also go to the contact page of thesagearts.com and write to me there. You can also reach out on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube under the Sage Arts podcast pages. Those are not going to go away for a very long time, regardless of what I do. I'm still here if you want to chat. And I do really, really hope that you will reach out, because I will miss these conversations, and I will miss the emails, and I will miss sharing the way I've been able to on this podcast. So to clarify, yes, I've decided, at least for now, I'm putting a pause on the podcasting until I've got this stuff figured out. I think it's the right choice for now, but I don't know how long, to be truthful, I'm going to be able to stay away. But just like with your artwork, I'm going to put this away for a little while so I can come back and look at it with fresh eyes. I want to really understand what I'm trying to do with this and what you all have been getting out of it and what aspects to continue to offer and share. And getting a little distance time-wise from it with those thoughts in mind, I think will be helpful. I wish I could put some kind of time frame on it. Like when I took the summer break, I said I would be back in September, whatever it was. And I could do that. But right now, I don't know what it's going to take to get that balance in my life with my creative work. So it's going to be an open-ended pause. And there is, I've got to admit, there is a possibility I might not be able to come back to it. I really don't in my heart feel that that's true. But we'll have to see. So I am not going to say goodbye at this time. I'm going to say so long for now. And I hope all of you have the most wonderful 2024 holiday season. I hope you look to 2025 with an eye on finding joy for yourself, prioritizing yourself, saying yes to the things that make you happy, that make your life better for you and your family, and step away from the things and the people even that drain you or get you down. There's too many wonderful and precious things we can do with our time to have it be eaten up by things that aren't feeding our essential selves, our creative selves, right? So until I pop back up again, do go out and have wonderful new experiences. Don't forget to keep feeding that muse. Be true to your weirdness always, and we'll connect again in the not too distant future.